How can we turn our good intentions into actions that matter? Coming up, we get advice to help reduce our impacts on climate change. And we'll hear how the popular music of Germany provides us a look at how their well-ordered world has changed with the times. Let's open today's Travel with Rick Steves with ideas for traveling like a diplomat. A few years ago, while filming in Bulgaria, my crew and I were invited to the U.S. Embassy in Sofia. My evening there with Ambassador Eric Rubin and his staff reminded me of the talent and passion and importance of the dedicated people who make up our foreign service. I remember leaving there that evening, inspired, with my head just spinning from what I'd learned. And I just left also thinking that it's not fair. I got to enjoy this fascinating evening and not share the conversation. I thought, I've got to have Ambassador Rubin on my radio show to talk travel. And we're going to do that right now. Ambassador Eric Rubin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
Can I call you Eric?
Absolutely.
Great. Hey, I was just wondering, you've done 35 years of service all over the United States. You're in Washington, D.C. now as the president of the American Foreign Service Association, speaking up for the needs and issues of 17,000 people in our foreign service. And you've done so much traveling. For you, this is a travel show on the radio. Is travel for you, a career diplomat, a kind of busman's holiday, or do you like it?
I love it. I was lucky enough as a kid to travel a lot with my parents all around the world, and I think that's where I got the bug, and I traveled and did exchanges as a student, and it's in my blood. You know, yes, it's part of the job, very much so, but I'm lucky to have had a job for so long that I really love.
You know, this listing of your posts since 85, what countries have you served in now?
Honduras, Ukraine, Russia, Thailand, and Bulgaria.
Just makes my head spin. And we had a wonderful conversation recently on this show talking about the politics and the value of foreign service and so on. This time, I'd really like to just have some fun reminiscing about your travels. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
So let's say we had a private jet, you, me, and a couple of loved ones, and the political climate was calm enough to make this a fun vacation, and you had a month to visit your former posts or those countries, at least the places that you'd like to return to. Where would you take me?
Well, I would take you to northern Thailand. I'd take you to Siberia. I would take you to the mountains of Bulgaria. I think that's probably my top three list.
Wow. That we could fill a month doing that easy, because I'd love to go to each of those places. You mentioned northern Thailand. To me, there's two kinds of travelers when they go to Thailand. There's people who go to Phuket and have hedonism on the beach. And there's people that go to northern Thailand where you find that's the hill tribe country, isn't it, around Chiang Mai?
It is. It's a fascinating multicultural area, not just the part in Thailand, but the surrounding countries as well. More than 100 different nationalities and ethnic groups, incredible languages, cuisines, art and culture and religion. It's a really vibrant place.
And you being a diplomat, you were probably aware of the spillover from troubled other countries that cross the border and drug trade and that kind of stuff. What's the latest on the demographic and ethnic challenges of the hill tribe country of northern Thailand?
Well, there are a lot of refugees from Burma because the civil war in Burma basically has been going on most of the time since Burma's independence in the 1940s. Unfortunately, that's led to literally almost a million, I think, refugees crossing into Thailand. Also, the problems during the Vietnam War in Vietnam and Laos had led to a large number of refugees, including the Hmong, many of whom later emigrated to the U.S. and have become American citizens. So refugee problems have been going on for a very long time. The Thais have been very good hosts for the most part, but it's never easy when you've got big refugee camps.
I would think a big part of the burden of being in the diplomatic corps is helping countries deal with refugee problems. I mean, that's going to be a big word in our future, I would imagine, is stress that refugees put on different countries. My son has been living in Colombia for years, and a lot of refugees from Venezuela. In the United States, we've got refugees coming in from all corners. And we've got the specter of climate refugees even more, I mean, in massive numbers coming up. Refugee problems are going to be with us to stay, I'm afraid.
Absolutely. And I think we have more refugees and displaced people now than at any time since the end of World War II. And it's millions and millions of people. And we can't do it alone, and no country can do it alone, which is why we have to do this as the international community, through the UN, through NGOs, through all the groups that help refugees.
And we can't just build a wall and let the rest of the world deal with it, and it's not a problem that we can wish away. So you'll get the dose of that when you go to northern Thailand. The indigenous people up there are just so endearing. If I remember correctly, the orchid is the national flower of Thailand, and to me, the people are, it's just emblematic of the people.
Yes, and some of the art and some of the architecture, some of which is several thousand years old, is just amazingly both fascinating and beautiful.
Now, Eric, you mentioned Siberia as a place you'd go back to. I thought they just send people there when they want them to disappear or be wiped out of memory or go to prison.
Well, I'm afraid the Russian government is still doing that to some extent. It's part of their history, but Siberia, in many respects, is the last frontier. It's the biggest, essentially untouched piece of land in the world, because Russia is the world's largest country by far. And between the East Coast on the Pacific and Western Russia in Europe, there are not a whole lot of people. There's a whole lot of trees and animals and natural resources, and most of it is still fairly pristine and stunning. And, from glaciers up in the Arctic down to the tundra, and then incredible lakes and mountains in the Urals. It's really a stunning region, not easy to travel in, but absolutely fascinating and beautiful.
Eric Rubin is helping us travel like a diplomat right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Eric has been a U.S. ambassador to Bulgaria, Honduras, Thailand, Ukraine, and Russia. And until recently, he headed the American Foreign Service Association, which represents the needs of people working in American embassies and consulates around the world. Their website is afsa.org. The third stop on your tour that you're going to give us is Bulgaria. And you didn't say the capital city of Sofia. You didn't say the touristic favorite of Plovdiv. You didn't say where the Bulgarians have to go for their beach vacation on the Black Sea coast. You said the mountains. When I think the mountains of Bulgaria, I think great monasteries that were sort of the way they lock away the precious cultural artifacts of the country that can withstand any political storms. What were you thinking when you talked about the mountains of Bulgaria?
Well, I was thinking that that's the least explored part of Bulgaria, and it has the most, I think, surprises. And if you have the privilege of being able to go there, it's the most unique part of Bulgaria. Sofia is a beautiful city. Plovdiv, the old capital, is an absolutely stunning city going back to the Romans. But I think the ability to explore the Bulgarian mountains, where there's really thousands of years of history, the Byzantines came through, the Romans came through. The Ottomans ruled for 500 years, and in every valley and in every corner, there are either amazing archaeological ruins or old towns and villages. As you mentioned, some of these ancient monasteries are truly architectural gems and have been recognized as such by UNESCO and the world. So, there's that. And then the people you find there are not on the tourist track. So you find some of the most welcoming and hospitable and authentically interesting people. And it's not to say that people in cities aren't interesting, but they've met a lot of foreign tourists and they're not always that interested. So It's just a really wonderful experience.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Ambassador Eric Rubin. He graduated from Yale in 1985 and has been in the Foreign Service ever since, serving in places like Honduras, Moscow during the years of the USSR collapse, Ukraine, Thailand, and more. He was the U.S. ambassador in Bulgaria from 2016 to 2019 and president of the American Foreign Service Association. And he joins us today from Washington, D.C. If you want to know more about his work with the American Foreign Service Association, you can go to their website. It is afsa.org. Eric, you've got two daughters, Liana and Rachel. I assumed they were raised overseas. How was that? I was just in Athens in the ambassador's garden there, and I gave a talk, and I got to talk to all of the children of their staff, and they were amazingly curious and attentive and just wonderful youngsters that were, the world was their friend. What was it like for you?
You'd have to ask our daughters who are now adults, but I think I can say they think it was mostly a wonderful experience, and it is a uniquely enriching opportunity for kids to travel the world, to live overseas, to not just be tourists, but to actually live in a foreign culture. Obviously, if you're with an embassy family, you're not going to be living in a village somewhere with no other foreigners. But it's still, frequently they go to school with kids from all over the world, frequently learn the local languages, and then get to travel with their families, certainly in the country they're assigned to, but frequently all over. When we were in Europe, we traveled all over Europe, and it was great. On the other hand, it can be hard to move every few years. Military kids have the same experience, and that can be dislocating, and saying goodbye to friends and making new friends and then navigating a new culture. So there are stresses, and there are kids who would say they wish they had just stayed in one place their whole lives. But overall, I would say the kids who have the opportunity and do this are enriched by it and carry that with them their whole lives.
Eric, you've traveled a lot in 35 years. We're just about out of time, but I wonder if you could sum up, is there any general travel tip that you picked up as a professional traveler in all of your years in Central America, Bulgaria, former USSR, Thailand? What is a general philosophy of travel that you think you'd like to share with people who are dreaming about putting together a transformational tour, a trip where they really broaden up to the world?
I would say push your boundaries, but do it intelligently, which means do your homework. You definitely want to research the place you're going. Depending where you're going, you may need more or less research. If you're going to the beach, you may not need as much. But really, you should learn a little bit or more about where you're going, the history, the culture, the manners, frankly, because they differ all around the world. And also, you know, some of the recent history, so you're familiar with if it comes up. And then you should, you know, pick your challenges. You should not be afraid to take new challenges, but you shouldn't do something that you don't think you would do at home. So,
yep.
You know, people get in trouble if they do things they would never do at home. But get out there, don't be afraid to explore, and mm-hmm. I think you'll find most people around the world are really welcoming of American travelers.
It's so important when the opportunity presents itself, say yes, but also don't get carried away with your enthusiasm and the euphoria of being in an exciting new spot where you forget to use just some common sense. And I think you should be okay. Ambassador Eric Rubin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
What kind of difference can we as individuals really make when the big polluters fight to avoid doing their part? A climate scientist takes us beyond the guilt and into what we can do to make a difference for the world we live in and the places we love. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.